Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, June 21st. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's summer, a time when a young man's fancy lightly turns to thoughts of pie. Today marks the official start of summer. We're kicking it off in a big way here, and we talk pie today. We brought in a favorite, an all-star, unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer. Deanna Fox is here with her latest summer pie creations to help your taste buds get the most out of the season. If you have a question about crust, filling, anything in between, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Delicious pies, your calls, Deanna Fox, coming up on Vox Pop Food Friday after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Food Friday favorite Deanna Fox. She is here to detail recipes for some delicious summer pies. Deanna is a food and agriculture journalist based in the Capital Region. Her work appears locally in the Times Union and the Daily Gazette, as well as in national publications like USA Today. You may have seen it on the floor outside the doors of the hotels that you go to. The Washington Post, Eater, The Kitchen, Beer Advocate. Deanna also owns Albany Cooking School, located within Different Drummers Kitchen in Albany. Her work and classes can be found at foxonfood.com. If you have a question about pies today, maybe crust, maybe fillings, maybe toppings, give us a call. The number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can tweet us at WAMCVoxPop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox, welcome back. Happy summer to you.
Thank you. You too.
Boy, you brought some summer pies. And before we get to the summer pies, which are fantastic, everybody in the station feasting on them now, what's new with you?
Oh, well, so much writing going on. There's so many good things to write about. Everybody's looking for things about ice cream and pie and all sorts of things, recipes. So I've been busy with that. But at the cooking school, we're getting ready for our kids' camps. So we have...
Tell me about the kids' camp. I have a couple of kids who cook very well. So tell me about this.
So most of our camps are geared for like around 8 to around 14. And we do have a week that's just for teens, so like 13 to 17. And it's great. You come in every day from 9 to 1, and they're week-long camps, and we really put a lot of trust in these kids. We feel like if you give them confidence and you give them a certain tutorial level, they can really take it off.
So that's a recipe for disaster right there.
No, never happens with us. Nope. And the kids, they just – it's funny. Like, you know, even with my own kids, if you give them just a little bit of faith – and you show them that you trust them, they take it so seriously and they get really, really into it. And they all bring their little Tupperware containers and they're so excited to just leave little portions to bring back to their parents to show them what they made. It's great. So we have two different themes this year. We've got around the world. So we're going to try every day is going to be a different continent. And then we do a Route 66. So we're going to do a tour through America.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you'll start on the East Coast and go to the West Coast?
Absolutely.
And give us a sample of what things you might find along Route 66 that the kids may be trying.
Yeah. Towards the end of the camp, we're doing some awesome things like tamales and empanadas and walking
down there
tacos.
Around Kingman and out that way.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it'll be really fun. I'm excited for it.
You know, it's one thing to give kids trust and confidence. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to give them sharp objects. So
That's true.
Your insurance is paid up and everything?
We do. And we never make them, if they're not comfortable with something, we never make them do it. So, but a lot of kids, they really want to get in there and they want to try it. And we do have those fun, like meshy, like chainmail gloves just in case so they can wear it on their non-cutting hands so they can't actually cut themselves.
They make those things?
They do, yeah.
I gotta get them for my house.
You do.
That's
I know.
Brilliant.
I'm looking at your hands right now. It seems like you could use a little help.
Yeah, and I'll be grilling later so they'll be burned.
Knife skills. Nice skills class for you, Ray Graff.
You know, I should have knife skills in this neighborhood.
Yeah, you clearly. Should.
the number here is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. The topic today with Deanna Fox is pies and summer pies, and you brought three amazing things today. I've already tried all three.
Good.
Why don't you explain what you brought?
Well, the first one I brought, which exploded all, thank God I'm sitting behind a table right now and on the radio because the front of me is covered in pie juice. I made a triple berry pie with a crumb topping that was just came out of the oven. So it was still a little, you know, runny. It hadn't really set up yet. And right down the front
of
me.
So wait, did it just tip or did it explode? Like,
I think it's just the juices, just in the transport. I mean, I buckled it in like my little baby in the backseat of the
car.
It was buckled in
Yeah,
it just got a little jiggly in transport. So when I picked the box up, it just right down the front of me.
There's still plenty of juice left.
The pie looked great.
Yeah, it tastes great.
You wouldn't know if you weren't looking at it. But
that's funny. So now your car smells like berries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but a triple berry pie. So it's got some blueberry in there and raspberry and blackberries. And you can feel the seeds in your teeth, but it's worth it. And then it's got a crumb topping. So,
really nice. And that, and I love the crumb topping.
I do too.
And that's just butter and brown sugar.
Keep what going.
Else?
Come on.
Brown sugar, butter. I want to say wheat germ and
close.
Alfalfa.
Close. I mean, you know, you could add those things in if you wanted to. To make it akin to like a dog biscuit. But, it's got brown sugar, you're right.
Right.
It's got white sugar. It has butter. It's got salt, cinnamon, a little bit of baking powder, just to give it a little in the oven, make it rise up a little bit.
Oh, is that really?
And some flour.
I mean, that is a really, and it hangs together. It looks like it's really crumbly, and it crumbles a little bit when you press on it with a fork, but it hangs together, and I guess that's plenty of butter.
The butter.
Yeah,
the butter does it. And then I brought you a tart, so... veering away from pie a little bit, but it is a basil macadamia nut tart shell. So it's bright green.
Yeah, and I thought immediately looking at it, okay, it's pistachio.
You could use pistachio instead of macadamia. That would be really tasty.
This is the most interesting taste. It's almost like a chocolate pesto pie.
And it holds together really well. You can pick it up with your hand and just eat it. Like
is this your own creation?
I don't know where this came from. I've been making this recipe for so long.
Yeah.
I think it might have been a desperation act of just stuff that had to be used up in the fridge. So it's flour, macadamia nuts, salt, sugar, basil, an egg, and a little water.
Very interesting.
And it makes the crust that you just kind of push into a tart shell. You can push it into a pie shell, whatever you want to do. You could do it in like little cupcake tins, and you can make individual ones.
Yeah.
And that's basically a chocolate ganache. So you bake the crust, you let it cool, and then you mix heavy cream, some really good quality chocolate, and a little olive oil.
Really?
The olive oil makes it really shiny. You see how shiny it is on the top?
But it hangs together so well. So that goes in the fridge for a couple of hours?
Yep. And then we put some flaky sea salt on top just to give it a little bit of a interesting taste, texture. It's just kind of different. It's nice.
It is really different. And you know, you don't expect to have basil.
Yeah.
And then after the first bite, you say, oh, yeah.
Well, you know, basil and mint and all that stuff, they're cousins. So they all kind of, they taste similar. They kind of hang together. You can substitute them out. But there's all sorts of different basils, too. You could put in purple basil if you wanted to. You could put in really peppery Thai basil.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. Or you could just use mint if you're afraid of the basil. Just use mint.
I'm not afraid.
Okay.
I'm not afraid at all.
You
tastes
don't
delicious.
Fear the basil.
Deanna Fox is our guest. We talk pies today on Food Friday. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And the third pie you brought.
How many pie shows have we done together?
Probably 5 or 6.
I think we've done more than that.
Maybe.
And every time I'm on here, what do you talk about?
I talk about the fact that I made Rick's mock apple pies.
You talk about your mother.
My mother. I don't think
Ritz cracker apple pie.
I don't think my grandmother or my mother ever made it. I think
no.
I just went and did it
because
it was always on the back
okay.
of the box and
yeah,
it said Rich. I don't know if it still is Rich mock apple pie.
I don't know if it's still on there, but it's still. I mean, that's still the recipe that's out floating through the world. So I made a mock apple pie with Ritz crackers instead of apples.
And you've never had it until just now.
I've had mock apple pie, but not with Ritz cracker. I've had it with zucchini.
Ugh.
No, it's amazing.
Really?
It tastes just like apples, yeah.
Well, doesn't this taste like apples?
It sure does. It's almost looks like a mincemeat pie. The way that it's
a little bit.
Like a chess pie.
But if you close your eyes and you taste it, you say, okay, it might be a little overdone, but the apple's a little mushier than usual, but it tastes like an apple
it
pie.
It sets up beautifully too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So it was just the recipes for all of these pies are all on the website, I believe.
I believe Jimmy did that, yeah.
Yep, you just make like a syrup. So you make brown sugar, white sugar, water, some salt, and you cook that together and you reduce it down, throw in some cinnamon, crush up right into your pie shell, your unbaked pie shell. So it's just like an apple pie. You crumble in your Ritz cracker, pour that syrup over the top, add some butter, top it with another pie shell or pie crust, uncooked pie crust, and you crimp it just like you would an apple pie, and you bake it. Bakes for like 30 minutes, and then there it is.
Well, you know, it's been at least 25, 30 years since I've made this pie, but I can tell you right now, even from memory, the crust on this that you made is a lot better. So let's talk about crust in a minute. We'll take a break. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. If you got a pie question or a recipe you want to share, give us a shout. We'll be back. Vox Pop, it's Food Friday. Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551 is the number. Deanna Fox is here, and Deanna owns the Albany Cooking School at the Different Drummers Kitchen in Albany, and she's a writer and a podcaster and everything else. You still do the podcast?
We don't do the podcast here anymore.
I thought you had your own.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
All right, so we'll scratch that from the list. All right, before the break, we talked a little bit about crust. And how do you, when you make a lot of pies, how do you make it? First of all, how long did it take for you to get it down? And second of all, how do you do it? They're flaky. They have some substance to them. They don't fall apart. Tell us about it.
Thank you. Well, I grew up with somebody in my life who was just an amazing pie baker, and she made it look so easy that I never really paid attention, because when somebody makes it look that easy, it's like, oh, anybody, I can just go
anybody
and do
can
that.
Do it. Yeah.
No, you can't. You have to like really learn how to make pie dough. So when I had grown up and after she had passed away and then I wanted to make pie, there was nobody really there in my life who could teach me. I called my aunt one time because I had to make an apple pie. And I'm like, how do you know when it's done? And she's like, well, it just looks done. And I'm like, well, that's super helpful. Yeah. So I'm on my own here. So I dedicated a year of life to learning how to make pie. I made a pie a week.
Really?
52 pies, and that's how I learned, and just trying different recipes and techniques and figuring out what worked for me.
What week did you finally figure it out?
Probably like 49.
Week 49.
Yeah, something like that. My neighbor was happy to receive probably even the real crappy pies. But,
so what'd you learn? I mean, what is the secret? Can you? I know you can't. Experience is really what counts here, but you can't really transfer it on the radio, but it's a radio show, so let's give it a shot.
Yeah, so for me, for the way that I like to eat pie, for the way I want my pies to look, taste, cut, whatever, it really came down to the fats. What kind of fat are you using? And, you know, there are amazing recipes that use lard, which I think makes the flakiest, most delicious pie crust. But lard is kind of hard to find, and it's not something you just keep around. Most people don't.
Isn't Crisco, the kind that you'd find in the store, the shortening, isn't that lard?
No. That's hydrogenated vegetable oil.
Oh.
Yeah. So basically take...
That's the bad stuff, right?
I mean, you're not eating pie every day, are you?
No. I always thought that stuff worked great.
Once in a while. I love Crisco. So there's Crisco, there's shortening, and not the basil, but every other pie here.
Really?
Yep. Because when you make all butter crust, it's really delicious. It's got that, like, you know, supple, buttery flavor that just melts in your mouth. But it gets, like, stuck in your teeth, like back in your molars. You get, like, that little bit of pie, and then you're always, like, trying to, with your tongue, go at it, try to get it out.
Well, that's why they make coffee.
True, but even then, still, you know, it's got to be some pretty strong coffee.
All right.
But if you have just an all-shortening crust, it's really, really tender, but it's not as flaky, and that's the problem. So you got to use both. It's pretty much equal amounts of both. And so the butter, when it's really cold, it explodes in the oven. It makes, like, this huge pop of hot air, all its steam comes off, and so you get all these little flakes in your pie crust. But the shortening comes in and kind of spreads horizontally and makes it really, really tender. So you get the flakes, but they don't stick in your teeth.
So it's a real chemical reaction. You have some hydrodynamics going on here and some thermodynamics where the butter and everything rises up. Again, this is not something, how do I put this? This is something where you really have to follow the directions.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of it's by feel, too. So, you know, the water, the flour, the salt, I put a little bit of baking powder in mine. And I feel like that just little bit of the acid that comes off the butter with the baking powder, the mechanical or the chemical leavening of the baking powder just kind of helps it give it a little bit more of a poof. So it's not just like a flat slab of dough. But, you know, all the way down through how you cut in your butter, your shortening, all that stuff is followed to a T. But then when it comes to your water, you have to kind of get in there with your hands and really feel it because it's really humid out today, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of air, or there's a lot of water in the air. So you don't need as much water in your crust to make a really good crust. You're probably going to need maybe half a tablespoon, a full tablespoon less water than what it says in the recipe because the air around you is so humid. Conversely, in the winter, like I have a wood stove and forced air in my house, so it's always very dry. So I usually have to add more water. So it depends on the time of year. The water thing is just up to you. It should, when you pick it up in your hand and you kind of squeeze it and you let go, you should see the imprints of your fingers. But it shouldn't be like a wet. It shouldn't be wet. It shouldn't crumble apart. It should just kind of hold itself together.
Deanna Fox is our guest. We talk pies on Food Friday. The number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. The thought about temperature I find very interesting. Most kitchens, especially around here and this time of year, they're hot and they're very muggy. That has to change your recipe to some extent, or at least the way you go about doing things.
Well, it changes definitely with the flour, the water. It changes that. And it also kind of will change your flour a little bit. You want to change the measurement of your flour. But if your flour is just hanging out in its bag in your pantry, you know, that's absorbing up some of that moisture in the air. So that will affect kind of how it feels in your hand a little bit. As far as temperature in the oven, not so much, because you can stick those pies in the fridge and let them cool off. If it gets really, really hot in your kitchen, like when I was making these, it was very hot in the kitchen. So my crust, the butter in my crust, you could feel it kind of melting through, and I wanted it to be cold, so it'd be nice and flaky. So I put all the crust back into the fridge. I formed my bottom crust and just stacked them up in the fridge in the actual, you know, pie tin. And then I rolled out my top crust and I just put them on a cookie sheet with layers of parchment between them. And then I just flipped them over when I needed to put them on the pie. And it kept everything cold and you can put it right into the oven. But as far as temperature, it shouldn't really need to change the temperature on your in your oven at all.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. And we got an email here from Rick, who writes, Deanna, have you ever made or had shoe fly pie? The story behind it, I was told, was that it was a sugar pie that was put in the window to keep the flies away while you cook the rest of your other food.
I didn't know the story behind it. I've definitely had it because I'm such a huge fan of Amish country buffets.
That's an Amish thing?
My God. If you have not been down to Lancaster and done the whole Amish buffet thing, you're not really living life. But anyway.
I've never had an Amish buffet.
You haven't lived, sir. Come on. Get on it.
What's an Amish buffet?
It's just a massive buffet. Anybody who's been down to Lancaster County can attest to this. It's just
what's
this
in it?
Huge restaurant. Whatever you want there to be. There's a whole bar of just pickles.
Oh, it's a restaurant?
Yes, yes.
It's the Amish
amazing
buffet.
Amazing. They go by all. There's a ton of them down there. They're all sorts of names. But
do they have a chocolate fontaine?
No, they don't, but they do have a lot of shoe fly pies, so at least they have
All right,
that.
What's a shoe fly pie?
It's basically, it's almost like, it's similar to chess pie, which is a thing that people don't really know anymore, but
you mentioned that before.
It's basically if you made pecan pie and took the pecans out.
Yeah.
So.
Just gooey.
It's goo, yeah, but it's good. And I think shoe fly pie has more molasses in it. Yeah.
All right, well, fair enough. So that was from our buddy Chef Rick Orlando, who wrote in here. The number is 800-348-2551. Your most popular request in the summer? You got a lot of friends. I'm sure they're saying, make me a pie. What's your most popular summer pie?
I don't really follow requests, but if they want a pie, then it's whatever I feel like
making. You're an
this
artist.
Is the thing.
I understand. Yes.
My favorite pie, I have two. I love a good apple pie. But in the summer, I call it blue barb because it's blueberry and rhubarb. And, oh, man, it's good.
Really?
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Now, to me, apple pie is more of an autumn pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You wait for the harvest, and I suppose so. But, you know, the mock apple pie you can make all year long.
You could, yeah. I mean, you know, thankfully for modern shipping, you can have apples whenever you want. But make apple pie whenever. But I love a blue bar pie, and blueberry peach is also my jam. Man, I could eat that all day long.
You have a tough time working with a rhubarb?
No.
No? I thought some of that would kill you.
Why?
Isn't there some poison in rhubarb?
In the leaves.
Yeah.
Not in the stalk.
You don't put that in the pie.
No. Unless you know. Unless it's for that purpose.
Oh, I
Ray.
See.
Yeah. So watch it, Ray.
All right. The number here is 800-348-2551. Line starting to load up here. And let's go over to Mary in Amherst. Mary, you're on.
Hi. I was just wondering, Deanna, how you like to make pies with strawberry.
Well, strawberry rhubarb pie is always good. And just like a strawberry with mixed berries is always good. But strawberries, they have so much water in them. They get so juicy.
Right.
So my filler... thickener of choice is tapioca. So I you can find tapioca flour now, but I like minute tapioca, like
the pudding. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the pudding in the box. Don't get, it's instant tapioca. Don't buy like that, the pearls that you have to soak for a long time. But they don't have any flavor. So they soak up all the juice. They turn the same color as whatever you're making. And if you use flour, like if they're frozen strawberries, I would maybe put in like a tablespoon of flour just to help really thicken it up. But with flour, the problem becomes if you don't cook your pie for long enough, you get that awful like uncooked flour taste. And cornstarch gets really, really gummy. So try tapioca. For basically a 9-inch pie, you want a 1/4 cup of instant tapioca.
Oh, that much. Okay.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And did you? Okay. Thanks a lot for the call. Did you put that in this berry pie?
Yeah.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a lot of juice in these too.
Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is here. It's a pie show today. We haven't done one of these in a while. Helen in New Lebanon. Helen, you're on.
Hello, Helen.
Helen. Helen, are you there? She sounds like she's there.
It's the ghost of Helen.
You know what, Helen? If you call back... Oh, we lost Helen. Helen had had enough, and now let's go to Kelly. 800-348-2551. Kelly is in Florida, New York. You're on.
Good afternoon. So, my pie guts are always delicious, but my pie crusts flop.
Mm. Oh.
And my friend tried to tell me the solution. She said, you know, Kelly, they sell those prepared pie crusts. And I told her this is a pre-prepared pie crust. Why does it happen?
That's always the problem. That was my problem for so long, Kelly. Either my crust would be amazing and the inside would be awful or vice versa. If you're making a fruit pie, if you're making a cream pie, you can kind of like par bake your crust a little bit. But if you're making a fruit pie... My trick is that I take 2 tablespoons of sugar and I dust them on the bottom of once I roll out the pie crust into my pan, I dust 2 tablespoons of sugar on top of that crust before I put the filling in. And I cook my pie really high at 425 for the first 20-ish minutes. And what that does is it almost creates like a caramel at the bottom. It's like a piece of glass. It's going to prevent the juice from soaking down into your pie crust. And then the other thing with fruit pies is you can't cut into them right away. You got to let them sit for a couple of
hours.
Yes, it's a virtue, especially with pie. Yes, but try that sugar trick and then put your filling in and then bake it as you normally would. But try that.
Good luck, Kelly. Thanks for the call. Now, be honest, Deanna Fox. Have you ever used those frozen pre-prepared
Yeah, crust? Before I learned how to make pie, totally.
They're fine, right?
Yeah. But then I became a grown-up, and, now I make my own.
Okay. All right. It's going to be like that for the rest of the show. That's fine. And now we go over to April in Niskayuna. April.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hi.
Fine, thanks. Listen, I do have a pound of lard, and I plan on buying more, and I want to keep it to make my pie crust. Can I freeze it?
Yeah.
You can?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just like butter.
Yep.
And Ray, this is Basil Hayden, Bob's wife.
Oh my gosh. Do you have the Basil Hayden at your house?
Yes.
All right, I'll be over in a little bit.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. That's good bourbon. Yeah?
Mm,
have you had the Basil Hayden?
Yeah, I've had that.
Have you had the Bell Mead?
No.
That's one to try.
Invest.
That's good bourbon.
Okay.
Okay, we go now to Donna in Great Barrington. Hello.
Hi. This is Donna.
Yep, you're on.
Hi, Donna.
Okay, great. When I'm making a cherry pie, the holidays,
mm-hmm.
I need tart cherries, that are frozen. You can't use those sweet, dark cherries. I couldn't find last year anywhere where they had tart frozen cherries. And other than that, I mean, I've never made one with fresh cherries.
Mm-hmm.
But, what's your recommendation?
I have the same problem. You really have to use a sour cherry when you make a pie.
Yeah, I tried it with the sweet. It was horrific.
It's not good.
Why is it so horrific?
Oh, I don't know. I think there's something about the
sloppy mess.
Yeah. Okay. Sour cherries have more pectin in them, and they kind of hold up a little bit better.
Yeah.
But they are really almost impossible to find frozen anywhere locally. So I think your best bet is, I've had luck. There's a couple of companies out of Michigan that sell them online, and they're really not that expensive. And so you can find them online and have them like 2 days shipped.
Yeah.
But that's probably your best bet.
That's what I'll have to do.
Yeah.
Now, do you ever make it with fresh cherries?
Yeah, I have. Yep. And you do got to let it bake.
And how's that come out?
Fine. You got to let it bake a few minutes longer, though, because it takes longer for the juices to render out. So if you don't bake it for like another 10 minutes, maybe, the cherries are just too hard in your teeth. They're like kind of squeaky still. So you got to let it cook and let all those juices render out. Another trick you could do if you have fresh, you have to do something that's called macerating. So you add your sugars to your cherries first for your pie filling and let it sit for 30 minutes. And the sugars are going to break down the cells and pull the juice out. And then it's almost like baking it frozen.
Ah.
That's cool. Yeah. I would do that. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess I'll be online then. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thanks, Donna. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 800-348-2551. If you have a question about pie, crust, fillings, toppings, you name it, Deanna Fox is here to answer them for you. Let's go to Terry in Shelburne Falls. Terry.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I'll turn my radio down.
Splendid.
There was a place in Shelburne Falls out here that used to make great, phenomenal pilgrim's pie. It was apple with a French crumble crust, and there was other stuff in it. And the baker quit and left. And for the past 8 or 10 years, my wife and I have been trying to find that pie.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a Dutch apple pie to me. So if you go online and you Google my name and Dutch apple pie, you'll find a recipe. You might even, I think I've brought it in here before, so it might even be on the WAMC website. But if
Possibly.
You can't find it, go onto the website today. And I think Mr. Lavoulis has put up the recipes.
He said he did.
So take that for the mixed berry crumb topped pie. Take that crumb topping recipe, put in half a cup of walnut, chopped up walnuts, and that will get you pretty close.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. And you know, we should have told Terry about the mock apple pie.
I know.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Pilgrim mock apple pie. The number here is 800-348-2551. We talk pies today, and what's not to like? Let's take a break. Deanna Fox is our guest. You got a pie question, get it in now, and we will be back shortly. Welcome back to A Food Friday. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. It's pies today with Deanna Fox. And Deanna Fox, you're an educator as well. I know that you own the cooking school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize you also teach.
I do.
You're teaching tonight. What are you teaching? Pie?
No, I wish. I'd be all set if I was teaching pie tonight. I have a private class with a wealth management group. They're bringing in their clients, and we're going to do pasta from scratch. So we're making ravioli and cavatelli.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. All right. So let's go back to the phones. And now we go to Pat in Del Mar. Pat, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I can normally get tart cherries at Hannaford. They come in 14, 16 ounce can. And they're Oregon cherries.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the name of the place who sends them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're very good. They make a terrific pie. And that's the only thing I ever use for cherry pie.
I think I know that. It's a black label, right? On the can?
I think so.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I mean, you could use a canned cherry. Just make sure you drain it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
They're very good. Thank you. That's all I had to offer.
Pat, Thanks. Thank you for the call, and we appreciate it. 800-348-2551, the number. It's pies today on A Food Friday. Let's go to Martha in High Falls, New York. Hello, Martha.
Hello. How are you today?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am good. It stopped raining, so I'm fine.
Terrific.
I have a question regarding a quiche.
Okay.
They get soggy. I put Parmesan cheese on the bottom, and they still get soggy.
Yeah. Mm.
What does the Parm do?
Tell me what to do.
The Parm's like a fat layer that keeps it from getting too soggy.
Gotcha.
One thing you could do is you could actually change, don't change your crust, but change your actual quiche filling. So take a couple of your eggs and separate them.
Yeah.
And take your egg whites and whip them together, beat them so they get nice, like medium to stiff peaks, and then fold them into your egg whites or your egg yolk.
Yellows.
And then add, you know, whatever else you're going to add into it. And try that. That's how I do it. And I have pretty good luck because there's a lot of air incorporated into that that will settle a little bit. So you're not just having a lot of wet sogginess sit on your pie crust. It's going to soak in. And then also just something really basic is you can just move your pie down into the oven further. So if you're baking in the middle, try baking on the bottom third.
Really?
Yeah. Or another trick. Another trick you could try too is something that I've learned to do is I have a big pizza stone at my house, and sometimes I'll bake a pie directly on that, and that hot heat will just help to like almost sear that bottom of the crust. But then it also keeps a lot of heat in the oven. It retains the heat in the oven.
The stone.
Yeah, so if you're opening up the oven a lot of times, moving pies around, that will help it regenerate heat faster in the oven, so you're not having this big heat differential going on in your oven.
How long do you have to heat those stones up before you can use it?
I just put it in right at the beginning when I turn the oven on.
Preheat it for like 2 hours or something?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. That egg white a try. It might work.
All right, thanks.
Now, when you say you put the pie directly on the pizza stone,
I put the pie plate directly on the pizza stone.
Okay, because I would say that I can't see
but
that
if
working.
You made a galette, that's a pie. Well,
there you go.
So there you go. You can put that right on a pizza stone.
You know, I got to say the pesto crust is really, it's a revelation. Not pesto, but the basil crust is a revelation.
Thank you.
As we've been taking calls, I'm thinking about some savory pies that might work with that.
You could make a quiche. Just take out the sugar and make a quiche in that one.
Or a combination. Like you take some bacon, maybe some brown sugar gook, and maybe some onions.
Beautiful.
Together.
Caramelized onions?
Yeah, put them right in there.
Beautiful.
That would be a nice savory pie. Helen in New Lebanon. Helen, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am now in a dairy-free situation here. And I want to be able to make pie crust, but I realize that I use a lot of butter and Crisco. My usual recipe is like half butter, half Crisco for pie crust, or maybe two-thirds butter and one-third Crisco.
Yeah.
But instead of butter, can I use coconut oil or something else?
You can definitely keep using Crisco because that's dairy-free or any kind of shortening. The thing that you have to be careful with the coconut oil is that it has a lower melting point than butter or shortening do. Yeah, thank you. So you just have to make sure everything's really cold. Just keep it really cold. Make sure you put your pie in the fridge.
Would margarine be better? I don't know.
Oh, no, darling. Don't ever use margarine.
Why?
Throw that out.
What's wrong with margarine?
Margarine's not even food. Margarine's like...
Oh, cut it out. Isn't it made of the same stuff that the Crisco is?
No.
No?
No.
No.
All right, we're going to have to fight this out.
Can I ask one other question?
Yeah.
Sure.
About slab pies?
Sure.
Do you use the same kind of crust for a slab pie?
Yeah.
For a regular
pie? Yeah.
What's a slab pie?
What's that, honey?
You cook the filling first for a slab pie?
I don't think you have to. No, I don't think that you have to. You have to be, you know, usually you have to think about the diameter of things and how far you're going into the center. So if you're doing like a 13x9, that's still only 9 inches across, which is the same as...
A
9-inch pie. So you usually don't have to worry about that too much. But there's an amazing book out by Kathy Barrow on slab pies. I think it's called Pie Squared. So it's great. And she's a fantastic recipe developer. So you should definitely check that out.
Right. And what's your website?
It's foxonfood.com.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Just before the next call, just educate me. What's a slab? Is it just a square pie?
Yeah, it's like a pie. Instead of cooking it in a round pie plate, you do it in like a 9x9 or a 13x9. And then you just cut off little, almost like if you're making brownies.
Oh, why don't you just say brownies?
Because it's not a brownie, it's pie.
Fine.
Come on.
800-348-2551 is our number. Deanna Fox is our guest. Karen in Richmond, Massachusetts. Karen, you're on.
Yes, hi. I'm also a cherry pie lover and baker, and I can tell you where to get sour cherries. You can get them fresh in season and also frozen at Samascott Orchard.
Oh, yeah.
S-A-M-A-S-C-O-T-T Orchards in Kinderhook, New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got so many great products. That's a good one.
Yes, not only cherries, all kinds of fruit.
Yeah.
So I have used their sour cherries, and they're great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call, Karen. Okay. Appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. You ever make a meringue pie?
Yeah, I made you a meringue pie last time I was here. Ray, geez.
I'm sure you did.
Come on.
I barely remember yesterday's show. All right, back to the phones. I'll just leave that alone. Layla in Mount Tremper. Layla, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hello.
I have a question and a comment. A comment is, I grew up eating ice cream and cake. We weren't big pie people, but a friend of mine turned me on to grape pie.
Oh, yes.
Grape?
A big grape.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're
my
speaking,
God.
You're speaking my language.
And actually, I wound up making a pie. I do use coconut oil a lot when I bake. I made a pie with just Concord or Concord-style seedless grapes. I think I just simmered them. I didn't even add sugar. I just added a lemon and put it in the pie crust. And, I mean, it didn't last very long, I can tell you that.
Yeah. I'm a Finger Lakes Central New York girl. So this is
great
like...
pie.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And do you have a suggestion for grape pie, or have you ever done much with that?
Yeah, I mean, I do add sugar. Not, in most of my pies, I add pretty much 50-50 brown sugar and white sugar. With the Concord, I just add white because I feel like the brown sugar kind of muddles the flavor of the grapes a little bit. I really like it. I've done it before. Concord grapes have a ton of pectin in them, so they set really well. So when you slice them, they just kind of...
So like a blueberry pie.
They hold really well. Yeah, even better than a blueberry
really?
Pie.
Really?
Yeah. But I've also made it with wine grapes before, and it's a little bit more tart. You add a little bit more sugar. But those you do kind of have to, you know, I cook them a little bit before and I strain out the seeds. The skins are okay, but the seeds get a little... They don't break up as easy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know why my pie wasn't as runny as I thought it would be when I didn't use pectin and all that. So I guess it was the natural pectin. That's a good to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Layla.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. This grape pie thing.
Yeah.
If we ever do another pie show.
Okay. I'll bring you one.
You have to. That has to be on the
list.
I've never even heard of this.
Yeah.
And so I would think that if you're using Concord grapes, you don't have to add much sugar.
I add a little bit of sugar because they can even be a little, depending. They can be a little tart sometimes. But
what a fantastic idea. Can you get some chunky peanut butter in the thing?
Beautiful. Well, let's do it. Let's do a peanut crust with a grape pie filling.
Fantastic. Over to Sue in Valencia. Sue, you're on.
Hi. I just had a suggestion for the basil crust.
Mm-hmm.
A tomato galette would be delicious.
It would be. Yeah. So a galette is a free-form pie. So you just roll out your dough in a big circle and you leave maybe like 5 inches or so, 4 inches around the border, and you add your filling into the middle and then you just fold the edges up and kind of pinch them together. So
and like a tomato pie.
Kind of. Well, this would be a tomato pie, tomato galette. So
brilliant.
Perfect. I love it. Good idea.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Sue. 800-348-2551. Although, again, I keep coming back to this thing. With the chocolate, it's real. It's
good,
an amazing.
Right?
It's a very addictive combination.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let's go back now to the phones and Barbara in New York City. Barbara.
Hi. Just one comment first. With using a pizza stone, I usually heat it for about an hour because I find sometimes, depending on how thick the stone is, it actually doesn't heat all the way through and the temperature could lower.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A little bit. And the next question is, I finally figured out and was able to make a flaky crust for pumpkin pies, but they come out hard as rocks.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be a problem with... Are you just using butter?
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I add a little bit of shortening, because I feel like the... And you can just kind of, you know, experiment the next time. Maybe cut out 2 tablespoons of butter and add 2 tablespoons of shortening if you want. there's a really amazing pie website called No More Mr. Nice Pie.
That's hilarious.
And the woman that writes it is Ellen Gray, and she writes, she has amazing, she's a professional baker. She does an all butter crust, so you could maybe check your ratios as compared to hers if you wanted to. But she writes all of her descriptions in haiku, and she calls them pie-ku.
Oh my goodness.
So check it out. Yeah.
What, also, would it make a difference? Because I tend, I shave my butter, I grate my butter.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, that won't, that shouldn't. You could try doing, you know, cubing it up if you want to, just with a knife. My recipe tells you to mix everything until it looks like peas and sand. Yep. So you have little pieces of butter that kind of are like pea size, and then the rest of it is kind of grainy. But I don't think the grating should affect that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thanks.
You ever made that peas and sand pie? Delicious.
All the time.
Let's go to Stephen in High Falls. Stephen, you're on with Deanna Fox.
Hi. I've been making tarts for decades, especially for parties and things, but I use a canola oil crust because butter is just too rich for a lot of people. So I found that it really works well if you use a little bit of sugar and vanilla in the crust.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it does come out a little bit tough. And I suppose, like, should I use a little bit of butter with that too, just so it wouldn't be quite as tough?
I'm not sure. You could try the butter, but I think what the problem is the way that fat based on its
push-in crust.
You're doing, yeah. So I think, so you're just using canola oil right now.
I'm just using canola oil, but a little bit of sugar and vanilla and, you know, unbleached flour.
Yeah. I think,
and, you know, water.
Yeah. I mean, you could try a little bit of butter, but I think it might help you if you get that really, really cold before you bake it. What happens is that oils and things that are melted, instead of expanding in the oven when they lose their steam, they kind of go horizontally. And so they don't really puff up and create lift. They just create like these solid pieces of compacted dough, essentially. So you could try a mix of canola and shortening, or even canola and butter. But there's a lot of recipes out there for just when butter was short and
healthier,
it was easy
oil
to come by oil. Yeah, there's a lot of recipes for that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to do something healthy.
Yeah. it's pie. Easy. Stop it. No. You don't eat pie every day. So just go for it.
I know. True. Yeah.
That's a great attitude.
But I don't.
Yeah.
Canola oil, huh? That's it. Thank you for the call, Stephen. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We talk pies today with Deanna Fox. 800-348-2551. So you use canola oil, and you say get it very cold. Does it get viscous like gin does in the freezer?
No, but a lot of times if something is cold, it kind of holds onto its water a little bit differently. It has different rates of evaporation on its water. Canola oil is always going to be kind of loose.
Yeah.
But just having it cold might help a little bit. But yeah, there's old Wesson oil recipes out there.
Have you ever tried that?
I've never made an all oil crust, no.
So you have to try that.
I guess.
You know, experiment. And I remember my grandmother, who was making cakes and whatnot in the, you know, war years, would make a great chocolate cake with mayonnaise.
Chocolate mayonnaise cake is my favorite thing ever. Are
really?
You kidding? Everyone thinks it's so gross. No.
No.
All mayonnaise is oil and egg, and you have to add oil and egg to cake. Chocolate mayonnaise cake, people. If you haven't tried it, you can type in my name, chocolate mayonnaise cake. You'll find
you have a recipe for that?
Yes. This is like mandatory eating for every holiday in my family.
As I recall with that one, though, the cooking, again, I'm going back 40 years trying to remember this, but there were times when maybe she overdid it and it was a little rubbery. I think with the mayo, you had to massage the length of time you put the cake in.
Maybe. The thing is that it stays, that mayonnaise never really loses all of its moisture. So it's a really dense cake.
Yeah, very dense.
Yeah. So I could see rubbery being.
No, maybe that's it's too strong a word. I mean, obviously we ate the whole thing.
It was really chewy in your mouth.
Yeah.
Is what you're trying to say.
But only once or twice. And then sometimes she nailed it. And I just figured she left it in too long.
Yeah.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is here in the waning moments. We have time to take your call. What do you have coming up?
Let's see. What do we have coming up? At the school, we've got so many fun. We've got so many new instructors. I'm so excited about them. We have Laura Ligos, who goes online as the Sassy Dietitian, and she's doing air frying classes for us.
Air frying?
Yes, that's a big thing. And
how hot does the air have to be?
That would be a question you should come to class and
ask. I will not
Laura.
Come to the class, but you could find out for me.
I will. And yeah, we've got a class, New England Classics, A Taste of Greece.
Oh, nice.
We've got so many good classes. I'm really excited for the program.
And people can find out now on your website, or is there another website for the
school?
Sure.
So our cooking school is located within Different Drummers Kitchens. So
right.
You can go to differentdrummerskitchen.com and you can find it there. The one in Albany, not the one in Lenox.
Gotcha. That's at Stuyvesant.
In Stuyvesant Plaza.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on the writing front, just I've got two great stories in the Times Union next week, one about the women behind local Southern and soul food, and also a remembrance of Molly O'Neill, who was a local food writer who just passed away.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Claudia in Newburgh. Claudia, you're on.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to tell you about something I did when I was a kid. This was a long time ago. We grew a sour cherry tree in our orchard. And every summer, we had to pit all the cherries that we picked. And so my mom, having three daughters, we would sit around the table for a full day with bobby pins.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And pick each pit out of each sour cherry. It was very easy doing. It was messy, but it was a good, and then she would can them.
Yeah.
And then she would have the cherries for pies that way. And it was just interesting, if anyone wants to pit cherries, bobby pins work.
I've never tried the bobby pin, but I always used a paper clip that you would fold like almost like in the middle, open it up, and so you just have like this big J hook, which is the same shape as a bobby pin, so I could totally see that working. And just pop them in and pop them out.
Not many people know about bobby pins anymore, but
yeah.
Well, my daughters do.
I just wanted to tell you that story. I grew up in Seattle. We had cherry trees and a lot of cherry trees.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Claudia.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great weekend. Let's jump over to Sarah in the Berkshires. Sarah, you're on.
Hi. I just want to see if you've ever used avocado oil in any of your baking.
Not avocado oil, but you can buy almost like solidified, it almost comes in a container like butter, avocado oil that has almost like a stabilizer in it, which keeps it kind of spreadable like butter. And I have used that, and that worked okay. It was kind of akin to a shortening.
It was a kind of, could you repeat your
It was it was similar. The texture ended up like shortening, but the product itself was in a little square tub that I found near the butter and that thing in the grocery store.
Okay, because I use avocado oil in all of my baking, and it's a very buttery taste. Mm-hmm. Avocados are good for you, and I thought when I hear some of the things people are using, this is a much, and I know you're not into healthy because it's pie.
Why
not make your pie healthy?
We eat very, very healthy in my house, but it's like sometimes, like, you know, if you're going to eat a cake, do it right.
I thought avocado had a lot of fat in it. Am I wrong?
Good fat.
The
stuff that makes your brain work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never tried that.
Well, you got to get on it. Mm. Avocado a day keeps the brain doctor away.
Avocado a day, great for your skin.
Well, you see. And thank you, Sarah. We appreciate the call very much. That's great. So avocados.
Mm-hmm.
You cook, you bake with them.
Yeah. Put them on your toast. Put them in your tacos.
I have never seen avocado oil in the store.
Yeah, you can get it pretty regularly now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Deanna Fox, once again, your website is what?
Foxonfood.com.
All right. And you'll find many a good recipe there?
There's some recipes, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, thank you for coming. And now you know what you have to do for the next show.
I know.
Grape pie. Peanut crust.
Perfect.
All right. So we'll make that happen. Thank you so much for being here. Good luck with the pasta class tonight.
I hope things
go well.
Me too.
Support comes from Big Elm Brewing. Tap room open Thursday through Sunday, noon to 7 p.m. Crafting ales and lagers in Sheffield, Massachusetts since 2012. BigElmBeer.com. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family owned since 1948. Offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage. Open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst. A New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. And Henry's at the Farm Restaurant, Buttermilk Falls, Milton, taking reservations for the Hill Rock Estate Distillery Whiskey Dinner, featuring handcrafted spirits from Hill Rock's own grain, Sunday, June 23rd, buttermilkfallsinn.com. That's it for today on Vox Pop. Thanks again to Deanna Fox for being here. And thank you for listening. Great calls today, as usual. Thanks to Rob Chacon sitting in at the controls. He remembered how to do it. Good job, Rob. Amber Sickles took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. Once again, I'm Ray Graff. Thank you for being with us all week long. On Monday, we start the week at 2 with a Medical Monday. Right now, stand by for the best of our knowledge.